Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Sten. I'm the pastor here at Mid-Current Church. So good to have you here as we close out this four-week series called Red Letters. Glad you could be here for it. It was in 1994 that author Jim Collins wrote a book that really kind of took the business world and even the leadership world by storm. It was drawn upon a six-year research project at the Stanford University Graduate School of Business that Jim Collins and his partner, they took 18 of the most, you know, truly most exceptional and long-lasting companies, and they studied them each in direct comparison to their top competitors. And so they examined these companies from the very beginnings to, at that time, the present day. They examined them as startups and then as mid-sized companies and then as large corporations. And throughout the research, the authors are trying to get the answers to the very same questions. That they're trying to figure out what makes these truly exceptional companies different from the rest. Well, what are the common practices that these enduringly great companies followed throughout their history that made them so great? Some fascinating research and some great writing. That book was titled Built to Last. Anyone heard of the book, read the book? Okay. In 2004, an updated version was republished, and in many ways, it continued to be kind of the gold standard for the development of successful companies, and it became one of the go-to sources for organizational development and for conferences on leadership, many of which I was attending as an up-and-coming church leader, because it didn't matter what field that you were in. This book and content like it, other books like it, other material like it, started to influence leaders across industry lines. Leaders from all types of organizations, whether it was for-profit or nonprofit, whether it was the secular world or the religious world, whether it was the private sector or the public sector, it didn't matter. Leaders from all industries, they wanted to know how to build an organization, how to start a company, how to lead a team that really could stand the test of time. Because no church, no restaurant, no organization, no company, no storefront wanted to become the next, Radio Shack or Blockbuster. No company, no church, no business wanted to become a one-hit wonder, a flash in the pan. And so books like these and content like these marked a time, which I think is still going on right now. Books like this marked a time where we are fascinated with organizational development and leadership development. We spend time and we spend money and we go to conferences and we listen to speakers and we download podcasts and we read books and we hire consultants that help us to create companies and to help us develop products and to help us develop organizations that are built to last. We're all about this stuff right now, and rightfully so. This stuff is all well and good. It's all great stuff, all great content, all great things that we should be thinking about as leaders in whatever kind of industry we're a part of. Sometimes I just wonder, however, if we spend more time asking these questions about the companies that we started and about the teams that we lead more so than the lives that we are actually living ourselves. And I actually think that one of the most important questions that we could be asking ourselves is, how do I live a life? How do I live a life day in and day out, year after year, that is really built to last? Because I don't know about you, but in just the 33 years of my life now, I have discovered something, and maybe you've discovered the very same thing, that life can be hard sometimes. Life can be a challenge sometimes. Storms can just develop quickly out of nowhere. They blindside us, right? Tragedy can strike without warning, right? Loved ones can pass away far too soon and far too young. Families can be messy. Relationships are hard. Parenting can be even harder. Work is demanding, or bosses or coworkers are discouraging. And the days and the years maybe get longer and lonelier as time goes on. These storms in our life, they can come out of nowhere. And so the question that I think that we should be asking ourselves most of all is, how do we establish ourselves? How do we live lives that are built to last? How do we live lives that are built to weather the storm? That they don't rise and fall only as our circumstances do, or only as our good fortunes do. How do we live lives that are built to last, that can weather the storms that come our way? I think this is the most important question that we can be asking. And when that's something that we want to know, the next question is, okay, well, where do we turn to get this kind of advice? I mean, where do we turn to get this kind of advice for how we live lives that are built to last? Who's talking about that kind of stability? Who's talking about that kind of endurance for your life and for my life for the long haul? Because it's not as great as these books are, books like Built to Last and Jim Collins' Good to Great, as great as these books are, it's not Built to Last, it's not Good to Great, or any other great books like these. Jim Collins has a lot of great things to say, but he doesn't have the answers for the most important questions that we need to be asking ourselves about how we live lives that are built to last. He does not have those answers. It might not come as a surprise to you that I think that Jesus does have the answers to those questions. In fact, what took Jim Collins 11 chapters and 200 plus pages to talk to business leaders about how to build businesses that are built to last, what took him 11 chapters and over 200 pages, it actually took Jesus only 4 sentences. It took Jesus just 4 sentences to teach us how we live a life that is actually built to last, that can weather the storms, that can stand the test of time. And I believe, here's what I believe. I believe that there is someone here today who needs to hear what Jesus has to say about how we live a life that's built to last, about how we live a life that can weather these storms. And so I want all of us to look at it together this morning. It's 4 verses. We find it in the book of Matthew chapter 7, and it's verses 24 to 27. It's Jesus's final words in this most famous sermon that we've been looking at, this Sermon on the Mount that we've been kind of tracing our way through over this past month. It's his final words in this most famous sermon to the crowds that are gathered on the mountainside. And here's what he says as he brings the whole thing to a close. This is kind of the final chapter, the final moment of this message. Here's what he says as he brings the whole thing to a close. He says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine," remember, he spent the afternoon teaching to the crowds, things that we've been looking at about the motivation of our hearts, teaching about not being concerned about all the things out here, but about being concerned about the things right in here and about the things right here. He's been spending an entire afternoon talking about all the stuff, things that we've been talking about. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It was built to last." Verse 26, he goes on. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, who does not actually start to build this stuff into their life, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." 4 verses. That's all it takes. 4 verses, 4 sentences, and I think that Jesus gives us the key to living a life that is built to last, that can stand the test of time, that can weather the storms. And Jesus is pretty clear here. He doesn't mince any words. There's 2 kinds of people, right? One that weathers the storm and one that doesn't. There's 2 kinds of people. He says there's wise people and there's foolish people. Okay? But here's what I don't think that he's suggesting. I actually don't think that he thinks that anybody is foolish enough to look at sand and say, "That looks like a great place to build." Okay, he is pretty clear here that some people are foolish and some people will end up building on the wrong kind of surface, but I actually don't think that he thinks anybody is that foolish to look at sand and say, "Yeah, I think that's a great idea." I think out of everyone here this morning, I actually might be the least qualified to contribute to the building of any kind of structure. If you've been around Mid-Current, my handyman skills have been well documented here. Okay, I have I should not be doing this kind of work. But here's the thing, even I know that sand is not a great surface to do any kind of building. whether it's a mailbox or a fence or whatever, even I know that sand is not a great surface to do any kind of building. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So let me just say it again here. I actually do not believe that Jesus is suggesting that we wouldn't know, that someone wouldn't know the difference between surfaces that are best for building. I don't think that he's suggesting that we don't know the difference between hard and soft, but I do think that he's alluding to something very different, something that we need to be very mindful of with the lives that we are living today. Because it's not just a matter of knowing hard from soft. I think he's alluding to something different. What I think he is alluding to is that sometimes surfaces can be deceiving. He's not suggesting that we don't know the difference between hard surfaces and soft surfaces, but what I think he is alluding to is the fact that sometimes surfaces can be deceiving. And this is, I think, where we can get ourselves, if we're not careful, I think this is where we can get ourselves into a little bit of trouble. So let me explain here what's happening. In order for me to do that, what we have to do is we have to transport ourselves back in time to the very time and to the very place that Jesus delivered this message. It is important that we know where Jesus was, where he delivered this message, who his listeners were, where they were from, you know, what was common knowledge for them, what are the things that they would have known about that time and about that place that we may not pick up on. All of those things are important for us to understand this part of Jesus' teaching. Actually, those kind of things are important for us to understand really any part of what the Bible has to teach us, understanding where it was spoken to, who it was spoken to, what was going on, and what was kind of the lay of the land. But that's the case here. We need to understand where they were, who Jesus was speaking to, who they were, and what they knew to be common knowledge that we may not know about now. So let me give you some really important context here about where and when and what the backdrop looked like then and there. Okay? Jesus is teaching. This is his most famous Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was teaching on the hillside near the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And what was plain for everybody to see, what was plain for everybody to see, and what everybody in that region would have known, what everyone in that region would have understood to be common knowledge, is that the shores of the Sea of Galilee were covered not just in kind of white grains of sand, but the shores of the Sea of Galilee were covered actually in alluvial sand. What's alluvial sand? Okay, alluvial sand is actually made up of materials that are left by the waters of flooded rivers. So in the winter months, when the rain fell hard in this region, rivers, one of the prominent ones, the Jordan River, flowed into the Sea of Galilee. In the winter months, when the rains fell hard, rivers that flowed into the Sea of Galilee, they would flood. And over their banks would spill alluvial sand onto the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Alluvial sand was a sand that was made up of silt, of clay, of pebbles, of rock, of gravel, and all sorts of other material from the bottom of a riverbed. Think about what the bottom of a riverbed is like. The rains would come, and the rivers would flood, and over their banks would spill this kind of sand and soot and silt and clay and rock onto the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And so then, in the hot summer months, in the dry summer months, the seashores on the Sea of Galilee were baked solid. The seashores, they were hard on the surface as if they had been baked in the oven. This is what everybody would know. This is what everybody from that region would understand to be true. So this is the backdrop for where Jesus is teaching this stuff, on the sun-baked, hardened shores of the Sea of Galilee. That's the conditions of the surface that surrounded them. But here's the thing. Here's what he's getting at. A wise builder, this is part of the four sentences that he needed here. Here's what he's getting at. A wise builder was not fooled by those surface conditions. A wise builder from that place and from that time knew that this surface was not all that it seemed to be. A wise builder would know then to sacrifice comfort for today and to sacrifice progress today for stability tomorrow. So a wise builder in that day knew to dig sometimes 10 feet below that surface, but between a surface that seemed pretty hard, a wise builder would know to dig sometimes 10 feet below that surface to establish the foundation for a house on bedrock. So that when the rains came, when those same winter rains then came and the rivers flooded and the winds blew and those waters poured out onto the seashore, the houses built on the bedrock could withstand the flooding and could withstand the rain and could withstand the wind and the storms. But the houses built on this alluvial sand, the houses built on this surface that just seemed like it was hard in the moment, houses built on this surface would be destroyed. And so this is interesting to me. And what it tells me is this, that the wisdom, that you know, it seems kind of so cut and dry, but what this tells me is that the wisdom that Jesus is referring to, when he's kind of going, hey, there's wise and there's foolish, the wisdom that Jesus is referring to here that separates these two, separates wisdom and folly. The wisdom that he's referring to here, it's not knowing the difference between what's hard and soft. It's not knowing the difference, you know, between rock and sand, right? The wisdom that he's referring to is knowing the difference between what's temporary and what is permanent. What just lasts for a moment and what stands the test of time. The wisdom that he's referring to is all about knowing the difference between what's temporary and what is permanent. And so here's the thing. When it comes to the lives that we are living, when it comes to the lives that we are building for ourselves, wisdom, it comes down to the very same thing. It's not our ability to decipher, you know, like good from evil or right from wrong. For the most part, we all get how that game works. I mean, I know there's some, you know, various circumstances that might be different, but for the most part, we understand how that game works. We understand what's good and evil. We understand what's right and wrong. We understand what's, you know, can and cannot. We understand what we should and should not do. Wisdom does not come down to our ability to understand that, you know, this kind of simple thing, right from wrong, hard from soft. But wisdom for you and me comes down to building our lives on a foundation that is actually solid, that is permanently solid, rather than a foundation that just appears in the moment for a time or in the season to be solid. Wisdom comes down to us being willing to examine the difference, to take some time and to look what it is that we are standing on. Because here's the risk. Here's the risk for us in all of this, right? Here's why there's real wisdom in taking time to examine the difference, because here's the risk. We can build our lives, and so many people do. I see it. I've probably done it. You've probably seen it. Maybe you've done it. Here's the risk. We can build our lives in a way that's good for today, that's comfortable for today, that's pleasurable for today, that's stable for today, that's enjoyable for today, but disastrous for tomorrow. That's the truth. That's what's at risk here when it comes to the wisdom that we have about how we build our lives. We can build our lives in a way that's great for today, that's so enjoyable for today, but absolutely disastrous for tomorrow. We can build our lives on things that seem good and seem stable today, but that do not stand a chance when the storms come. And that's the difference, right? That's the difference between wisdom and foolishness, right? Knowing the difference between what's temporary and what's permanent. And whether we like to admit it or not, I think we all, you know, kind of do this every day, you and me both. We all settle for things. I know I've done this. We all settle for things that on the surface, they appear to be pretty legit. We all settle for things that seem to be pretty solid, and we put our hope and we put our trust and we put our confidence in so many things that, other than what is long-lasting. We put our hope and we put our confidence in so many things that are really only temporary, that are really only solid and stable, maybe for a moment or maybe for a season or maybe for a time. And if I can be honest here, this is maybe, over the last few years of my life, and even now, this is maybe the single biggest lesson that I'm learning about my life right now, that I have to put my hope and I have to put my trust in something so much more than just what comes easy for me and that has created some solid footing for me in the past. See, even as a young boy, I started to realize something, and my family was helpful to kind of encourage it and kind of, you know, highlight it for me. But even as a young boy, I started, and this feels weird to talk about, but this is what I'm learning right now. I started to realize that even as a young boy, I had some kind of natural, like, you know, charm and charisma that really served me well. For both young and old. Even as a kid, I remember I was able to hold conversations and engage personally with people three, four times my age, and I enjoyed it. And I was good at it, right? And as a middle school kid and as a high school kid and as a college student, you know, I kind of just waltzed through life. I mean, I had kind of this, I hate to even use this term because it's so not accurate of who I really am or who I was, but I kind of had this like golden boy reputation, right? In school, in work, in friendship, whatever. I just kind of had to show up, right? Just kind of tap into some of that natural charisma, flash a smile at the right moment, tell it, you know, some witty joke at the right time, pick up my guitar and start strumming, and things just kind of worked out for me. Doors just kind of opened for me, right? Things just kind of came easy. And I don't think it was ever a real like conscious decision in the moment. I don't think I ever made a conscious decision at some time. But what I can easily see now is that I put a lot of trust and I put a lot of hope and I put a lot of confidence. I mean, I went all in on the fact, you know, the certain things, not everything, but I went all in on the fact that certain things just kind of came easy for me. But I just kind of put all my eggs in that basket and thought things are going to work out for me. But as life went on, here's what I was forced to start learning. And here's what I'm still learning right now. That there has got to be more than that. I mean, I've been learning that the hard way, that there has got to be more than that, more than just kind of what came easy for me, more than just kind of what was kind of solid footing for a while. There's got to be more than that, because here's the deal. Life has gotten a whole lot more complicated for me. All of a sudden, I'm a husband, of 10 years now. I'm an in-law. You know, all of a sudden, I'm a graduate student getting a master's degree. All of a sudden, I'm a dad of two kids, soon to be three. All of a sudden, I'm an employee. I'm a coworker, and all of a sudden, now I'm a boss. I'm a leader. I'm a pastor. I'm a neighbor. I'm a member of this community. Hopefully, I'm becoming a leader of this community. I'm a friend. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm someone who a whole lot of people look to and a whole lot of people count on. And so, here's what I've had to learn the hard way. That when life got harder, I couldn't just rely on a charming smile and a witty joke to kind of just do the trick. I kind of figure, well, this is kind of how I do what I do, right? But I've had to learn the hard way that a witty joke and some natural charisma doesn't always do the trick. It isn't always enough of a foundation to be standing on. Right, so when the storms pop up, and they do, they do for me, and they do for you. If they haven't for you, number one, give thanks to God, and number two, buckle up, because here's the truth, right? That the storms will come our way. And so when the storms came for me, right, when you know, storms of just family life, whew, rise. When the storms of you know, loss of loved ones and my dad in an early age, when storms of life come in, when the storms of planting a church from nothing, you know, with no one, when those storms rise,
And when they start blowing left to right, when the storms of insecurity rise in me, when spiritual storms rise in me, right, with my own faith, where I'm kind of wondering, man, where is God and why is this happening and where is he leading me, right? When those storms rise, when the storms rise in my life, when things actually got hard, I started to realize there has to be something deeper inside of me. There has to be something deeper inside of me that I can draw from, that I can lean on, that I can pull from, and that I can build my life on top of, that I can stand confidently on top of. And time again, I am reminded that I am to build my life not on what comes easy to me, not on some natural charm and charisma that has really opened some doors for me, that I am supposed to build my life and to put my hope and my confidence in the rock that is Jesus Christ. That I put my hope and my trust and confidence in him, that I put my hope and trust and confidence in who he says he is and in who he says that I am. Put my hope and my confidence, my trust in what he has called me to do and what he has asked me to do as long as I still have breath in my lungs on this earth. Time and time again, I'm confronted with these realities where I realize, Stan, you got to dig a little deeper, man. That your confidence, it has to come from something a whole lot more substantial than just a smile and a well-timed joke. My trust was built on something that was only temporary. It's not that those traits in me were temporary, but it's that their effect, that their kind of impact have only a limited, limited power. It's not that they go away, but it's that stuff doesn't work all the time. I had to realize that my trust was built on something that was only temporary. And so then if we flip this back around, that's what I've been learning. If we flip this back around, the question for you is this: where does your confidence really come from? I mean, do you know what it is that you are building your life on top of, right? For good or for better or for worse. Do you know what you're building your life on top of? More specifically, are you mindful? Are you aware? Are you even looking? Are you even examining the things that might only just be temporary? Mindful of the things that may only last for a while, for a season, for a moment. Maybe like me, this is something good in your life that serves you well in your life, but that you have put your trust in it most. Maybe the same was for you. It was a personality that kind of carried you far, that kind of served you well. Maybe for you, it's your reputation in the halls at school or in the community, right? You've got a reputation where people know who you are. And people look up to you. And you start to put a whole lot of trust and a whole lot of hope and a whole lot of confidence in what other people think of you. Maybe it's like popularity that you're kind of building your life on top of. You're always the life of the party. You're always the one that people want to be around. You're always the one that people kind of look to set the trends or do whatever. Maybe it's athleticism. Maybe sports have always come easy to you, have always come naturally to you. And you've built a life on the success that you have between the lines. Maybe you put your trust and your confidence in wealth and in money and in riches and in material that you can provide for yourself and the things that you can do and buy and get for yourself. Maybe you put your confidence in the career that you have. Maybe you put your hope and your trust and your confidence in the team that you lead and the opportunities that career will create for you. Maybe you put your trust and your confidence in your hope in the company that you own or the business that you started. Maybe it's your intelligence. Maybe it's your charisma. Maybe it's the platform that you are kind of speaking from. Or maybe it's your success or the social network that you have. I don't know what it is for you, and the list is long of the things that can provide some solid footing for us for a while. So I don't know what it is for you, but I just know there is a whole lot of things that we can stake our lives to, that we can hook our train to, that we can stand proudly on top of, that we can bank on, and that we can put our trust in, and that we can build our lives on top of. There's so many things out there in this world and in our life that we can feel like, hey, this is what I'm standing on top of right now. And here's what I want you to know about all of that. Here's what I want you to know about all those things, whatever it is, your reputation, you know, charm, personality, wealth, you know, status, career. Here's what I want you to know about all of that. None of that's bad stuff. None of that is bad stuff. Please don't hear me saying that this stuff is bad, that you shouldn't be about it, that you can't be, you know, you can't be popular or charming, or that you can't be wealthy, or that you can't be athletic, or that you can't lead a great company, or that you shouldn't be successful, or that you shouldn't be concerned with the reputation that you've developed. I'm not saying any of that. All that stuff, you know, if we got our head, you know, on, you know, we got, you know, a good head on our shoulders, all that stuff is well and good. It's fine. But here's the thing. It's not a guarantee. It's not bad stuff. Success, wealth, fame, popularity, charisma, charm, whatever. It's not bad stuff, but it very well may be temporary. It very well may provide for you a solid footing only for a while. Very well might be here today and gone tomorrow. What appears to be solid footing today could be a whole other story tomorrow. And so what we need to know from this, from these just four short verses, what we need to know is this, that we can build our lives in a way that is good for today, but disastrous for tomorrow. We need to know that we have two choices, that we can build our lives on a foundation that appears to be solid on the surface, that has provided some solid footing for a while, or we can build our lives on the one surface that we know is solid well below. And it seems to me that real wisdom, the wisdom that Jesus is talking about, it seems to me that the real wisdom is knowing the difference. You know, or at least being willing to find out, to examine what is below the surface. What is underneath the surface that I'm standing on top of? Because it seems to me that what's below the surface determines whether or not we are built to last when the storms come our way. And so my challenge to you is this. When it comes to your life, just to dig a little deeper. To build on what's permanent, what we know is permanent, rather than to build on what's just temporary. To go beyond or to push past what comes easy or what comes natural or what comes quickest, and to build our lives on a sure foundation. The hope and the promise and the teaching of Jesus. And to put into practice, not just to put into our minds, but to actually put into practice all the things that he's taught us to do, all the things that he has been speaking about in this great big sermon that we've been talking about, to put into practice the things that he is trying to get our attention with, about our hearts, about our motivation, to put into practice, not just to put in our minds, all the things that he has taught us to do, all the things that he's called us to do, and to follow the example that he has set for us. And so the question is, do you know what you are building your life on right now? I mean, and do you know, are you aware, are you even mindful, are you even looking for what it is that might be just temporary? That might be solid footing only for a time. And if you're not exactly sure, the question is, are you willing to find out? Are you willing to dig a little deeper to find out what's below the surface? So you can put your hope, and you can put your trust, and you can put your confidence in something that doesn't just last for a moment, that doesn't just last for a season, but that lasts for a lifetime, that they can weather the storm, and they can stand the test of time.
in just a moment, that the band is going to close us with a song here, and the song is called Cornerstone. Okay, in the construction world, not that I know a whole lot about that, but in the construction world, okay, especially in this day, the cornerstone was the one piece of a building. The cornerstone was the one piece of the foundation that was set first, set before anything else. The cornerstone is the one piece of the foundation that was set first, and that everything else was built from that one piece, from that cornerstone. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is that he needs to be that cornerstone, that thing that's first, that thing that everything else is built from. Not our success, not our charm, not our charisma, not our money, not our intellect, not our creativity, not our career, not our, you know, picture perfect family or anything else. Him first, and everything else built out from it. There's a line in this song that that we're going to sing, the band is going to sing, that I think sums all of this up perfectly. Such a great line. Line that we're going to sing that sums it all perfectly. It says this. It says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly trust in Jesus' name. Folks, our lives are just a series of moments, right? Our lives, you know, we live them just kind of moment by moment and frame by frame. And the message here is that we do not put our trust in any one of these moments, in any one of these scenes, in any one of these movie frames from our life when you know, things were the greatest, or when things felt the most stable, or when things felt the most secure. Because that moment, those scenes from our life, those frames, those snapshots, they may only be temporary. They only might last for a season or for a moment. And so instead, we put our hope and we put our trust and we put our confidence in the person of Jesus Christ, the rock that does not move when the storms come our way. That's the foundation that holds when the wind and the waves hit. And that's actually the voice who the wind and the waves obey when the storms do rise anyway. So I'm going to close just with this right here. Here's what I'll say this morning. If you've never actually put your hope or your trust, your confidence in Jesus, if you've never said yes to him, yes to building your life on that firm foundation and not something else that seems sturdy in the moment, if you've never said yes to that foundation, I want you to have the chance to do that here today. So here's what's going to happen. Before we sing, just right now, I'm just going to pray. And today, if you want to say yes to Jesus, to put your hope and to put your trust in him and in him alone, in him first and everything else then after that, if you want to say yes, then I'm going to have you just repeat this prayer after me. So we're all going to bow our heads here and pray. And if this is you that you want to say yes to Jesus, just repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, today I thank you for what you have done for me. I thank you for giving your life for me. And today I confess that I have put my hope and that I have put my trust in so many other things. So many of the wrong things when it comes to the foundation I need in my life. And so today, I want to put my hope and trust in you. And I say yes to following you. Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you direct me? And would you teach me to follow your ways and no other? And then for all of us, God, we just give you thanks for your word that teaches us, that informs us, that directs us and guides us. God, we thank you for the chance to look at these things that you're teaching us about life and the kingdom. about the things that you want for us, God. Would you help us to see the places in our life where we're maybe we're standing on something good, but that's not solid for the long haul, God. Would you help us to see? Would you help us to know it where? Would you help us to know how it is that we shift, that we put our trust in you, in the lives we're living? God, help us to see how and where we put our trust in you, so we stand the test of time when the storms come our way. God, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and for the confidence that we have in who he is, and the love that he has for us, and his constant presence in our life. We give you thanks for that, and we pray this in your name. Amen. We're going to